This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Thanks, Deborah, for taking the time today to come on our show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be here.
Deborah, why don't we start off, if you can introduce yourself, please, and tell us a little bit about your company.
Sure. So my name is Deborah O'Malley. I'm the founder of a company called Guess the Test and also the CEO of a company called Convert Experts. And I started off, really my origin story dates back to probably when I was in about fifth grade. And I had a fascination with understanding what people saw and how they reacted to things. So I was always interested in marketing and advertising and these types of things, but I didn't even know it. And at the time, I watched a Muppet Babies show, and it said, "What you're meant to do in your career path will be on the palm of your hand." And I looked at the palm of my hand, and I searched and I searched and I searched, and I couldn't find my career path. And little did I know that it was because it didn't exist yet. The internet was not a thing. I'm dating myself here, but my kids like to joke I'm older than Google. It's unfortunately very true. The internet was not a thing. Google was not a thing, and websites were not a thing. So you certainly could not be optimizing them. But back then, what I did is, for a grade five science experiment, I took different colors of construction paper and I cut them out into different shapes and I posted them on a board and I asked people what they saw first. Now, far from statistically rigorous or scientifically valid, unknowingly, that was actually my first eye tracking experiment. And fast forward many years and a very circuitous route later, I actually ended up pursuing a master's of science degree where I specialized in using eye tracking technology to see how people looked at ads. So it all came together then.
Wow.
And I looked on the palm of my hand and I went, oh, there it is. That's what I'm supposed to be doing.
So the Muppet Babies
So that's how I got into it.
Wow, that's great. So are you running two companies concurrently then? Is that how this is working?
I do, yes. So okay. Convert Experts is focused in conversion rate optimization as well as A/B testing. And I help clients optimize their websites using a very data-driven approach, doing what's called conversion rate optimization, which is essentially a data-driven approach to take analytics data as well as heat mapping data, which shows how users behave on a website, and apply that to understand what users are doing on the website, what they're finding difficult about getting through the website, and then finding all those pain points, exposing them, and going through basically the conversion funnel or sales funnel, figuring out where the leaks are, where everyone is going away from the site, and working to plug those leaks so that people can seamlessly move through the funnel. And that can be done through a process called conversion rate optimization, or CRO, as well as something called A/B testing. And A/B testing is an extension of that process where you take a website and you take version A of a website, let's say it has a blue button as a simple example, and you take version B and you turn that blue button into a red button, for example. And you see, does the blue button or the red button convert or perform better? Do more people click on it? Do more people end up buying? That kind of thing. Now, that's a very simple example. And any CRO expert will know you're not supposed to do button testing. It's the bane of CRO existence. But as a simple example for people who are new to the field to understand, you can test a button color and it actually can really make a difference in the way that people react and relate to the website. And so by doing this and seeing which converts better, you can get more people to click, more people to buy, and ultimately for the website to convert or perform better. So I apply, both approaches, and Convert Experts is the practical application of that. And Guess the Test is an educational resource, which there are hundreds of A/B test case studies on Guess the Test that show what other companies have done. And they report on what companies have done to increase their conversions and revenue. And I'm able to, apply all the knowledge from Guess the Test and bring it into my clients with Convert Experts to help them optimize their websites.
And which of the two companies came first?
They were kind of a chicken and egg scenario. They sort of resulted out of each other, but I would say ultimately, guess the test came first, from previous work that I was doing. After I finished my master's, I ended up working for a company doing large scale usability tests and looking at Government of Canada websites and seeing how they performed. And through that, it was user experience testing, but it brought me into this field of UX conversion rate optimization. And then I kind of veered off a little bit and started specializing in CRO and A/B testing. From there, I started working with clients and also realized that there was a need for education. Clients needed to be told, yes, this test idea is likely to work. Here's proof. Or no, this test idea, it's an interesting idea, but it might not work. Here's proof. And so being able to validate and help inspire test ideas became a very helpful thing to work with clients to steer them in the right direction. And so Guess the Test was born as an educational resource to be able to do that, to help inspire others, validate test ideas, and show what tends to work and what tends to not work with A/B testing.
So are you working primarily with enterprise size clients, or are you working with the full gamut?
Yeah, so enterprise clients are the best clients to work with from the standpoint that they have more traffic. And in A/B testing, it's really important in order to get valid, trustworthy results to have a large sample size. And what that sample size needs to be exactly is, and it depends scenario. And if you're in the CRO world, you'll hear it depends all the time. It's the number one thing us CRO experts like to say, it depends, it depends. But in actuality, it does not depend. It depends on four very specific factors. And we won't go into those today because they're quite statistical and can get a little bit complicated. But what you need to know is that when you are doing A/B testing, you need a large representative sample of users to be able to actually get trustworthy results. Now, how many that is, again, it depends, but it's in the range of about 120,000 visitors per variant. So if you're running an A/B test, you have two variants, version A and version B, which means you need about 240,000 visitors in total to run properly powered A/B test that's going to give you valid results, valid trustworthy results. Most enterprise clients have that. Most smaller businesses, as you get smaller and smaller, do not have that. So while testing is still maybe a helpful tool for them, it's not going to give them nearly as trustworthy as data as a larger enterprise client. I, however, have worked from everything to tiny little companies all the way up to big enterprise companies and the full gamut in between. And what I have done is developed an approach that works for every client. Companies that don't have enough traffic to do A/B testing, I've developed an approach that I call BA testing. So it's the opposite of A/B testing. It's before, after, or baseline assessment testing. And so what you do is you use the data to see what's working, what's not working on the site. You take a very data-driven, hypothesis-based approach, but instead of testing, you implement right away. You hope for the best, knowing that you have informed, very data-driven processes behind and backing your work. And then you scrupulously monitor the website very, very carefully, looking at the key performance indicators like revenue or sales, whatever it is. And you make sure that it's going up, not down. Now, if you see something going down, which has happened to me, I admit it, you very quickly assess, reassess, use the data to figure out what's going wrong, and you make tweaks very quickly and you immediately implement new things. I have a great example for a local client that I worked with here in Ottawa. We did the BA approach to testing. I was very confident everything was going to work because it was based on, I don't like to say best practices because those can be dangerous to fall into, but best practices that were data driven that I've seen work a lot of times for other sites in that industry vertical. I implemented everything. I watched conversion rates. I was like, yes, this is going to be great. And to my dismay, the site, ooh, revenue went down. I went, oh my God, oh no, what's going on? I thought I knew what I was doing. What's happening here? I looked and I used heat mapping data to see one crucial flaw. And that was the call to action button, the button that you click to purchase a product or add it to your cart, was below the fold, meaning that users had to scroll down on mobile to be able to see it. On desktop, it was fine, but on mobile, people had to scroll. And it was primarily mobile traffic, about 60% mobile traffic. And people were not scrolling to click the add to cart button or to click to purchase. As soon as I realized that from the heat mapping data, I said, aha, I figured out the problem. Let's move the call to action button up above the fold. We worked very quickly. Within a day, conversion rates started to increase. Within a week, they were going up. And within 2 weeks, they were where I had targeted and projected. And things from there maintained a steady upward progression. The company now has increased sales. I think it's something like 267% or something like that. They're very, very happy with the results. But initially, the initial launch did not work because the call to action button was below the fold. So that was the number one lesson that I learned. Never have a call to action button below the fold on mobile for something key like adding to cart or making a purchase, going to checkout, that kind of thing. So BA testing can be effective. It needs to be done with very continuous monitoring and a continuous optimization approach.
So the takeaway here for our listeners is, excuse me, no matter how big or small your company is, you should be doing testing of some sort. The data is more accurate the larger the volume, correct?
Right.
But even with smaller volume, you can at least see some things that you may want to improve on your website. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. Yes, okay. I think that's really fair to say. And ideally, every organization should take a data-driven approach. In this day and age, there's no excuse not to. You may not be able to test. You might not have that kind of traffic, but you can BA test. You can hire a consultant like me to do that for you. You can use user experience data. You can conduct user experience studies. If you do user experience type work, you need a sample of about 6 people to up to 30 people to get valid results. So there's really no excuse. You can go online or hire companies that do that for you. You can ask users through surveys what they find wrong with your website, what the problems are, what the pain points are. You can ask people directly. You can talk to your sales team, all sorts of stuff, many, many approaches to really, truly understand who your audience is. And when you understand who your audience is, what their needs are, and why they're buying from you or not, then you can start to make optimization changes to drive sales and increase your revenue.
How old is the company? I should have started with that question.
I started both of them in 2018.
Wow, congratulations. So you went through, you've been through COVID. You've been through a bit of a recession.
Yes.
So let's dive into that just a little bit. You know, you and I were talking before we went live about, you know, some of the lessons we've learned along the way. So what lessons would you share with someone that currently owns a business, but maybe struggling a little bit, as you may have struggled in 2020, as we all did?
Absolutely. Yeah. I remember COVID as just this absolutely devastating moment where I had one client that said, we're going to have to stop. I was on a retainer with them. We're going to have to stop the retainer. Things are just too unstable. I had seminars booked around North America. That client then said, I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to do the seminars. We can talk about maybe doing them later online. And it just kind of went like that. And one domino after another, boom, 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 fell. And everything that I had worked so hard for the last, it was about 2 years previous, that I had worked, I had built up, blood, sweat, and tears just fell down. And it was devastating, absolutely devastating. I think the only answer is grit and resilience and reinventing yourself. And, you know, I take an optimization mindset because that's what I do for my work. I also take an experimentation mindset because that's what I do for my work. So I said, okay, there's got to be some kind of opportunity in this. How can I reinvent myself? How can I work with the circumstances? And what can I do to, you know, reshape this to an optimistic standpoint rather than a devastating standpoint? Now, honestly, that shift did not happen overnight. There was many days where I was just absolutely grief-stricken, really, with the prospects. But slowly over time, I said, I'm going to use this as an opportunity. I'm going to find the ways to, you know, extract something out of this. And what I was able to do As an example, I had in-person corporate training seminars that I was scheduled to give, and I had never really developed an online package before. I said, you know what? I'm going to turn this online. I'm going to find a way to make it go online. And I was able to use Zoom tools and develop an online PDF package for the workbook. And I presented my first online training seminar shortly after. And now I offer a hybrid model where I can do it in person or online or a combination of both. And it works really well for the corporate training clients I have. Similar to clients, you know, I was used to often meeting them in person. If it was local, I would just run all the meetings online and we would do things online. And it actually became the practice to have things online and a really good way to share things like, you know, Google Analytics screens and results reports and things like that that were in the cloud or in the computer anyway. They were just shared online. So there was opportunities that came out of it. It took a little while initially to see those because it was devastating. But those things are going to happen. Those setbacks are going to happen. Right now, I'm finding it's a very challenging time in the economy. There's definitely scale back. There's skittishness with the economy. There's, you know, of course, tariffs are on everyone's mind. And I don't think really things fully recovered from COVID. And so people are scaling back and hesitant to spend on something that they see discretionary, like CRO, because although it does bring you great optimization gains and can 10x your revenue, you still do have to spend money to do it. And so it's one of the first things that can more easily be cut. So again, I'm finding myself in a place where I'm looking for opportunities, trying to find, you know, the silver lining and the clouds and saying, well, what in this circumstance can I do to extract and make this, you know, a bountiful time for me? AI, I think, really is the answer. And so I'm using the extra time that I have that I would normally be working, you know, 12-hour days with clients. And I'm putting that towards learning AI tools and technologies and really trying to keep my pulse on the AI market so that I can potentially sort of reposition myself as an expert in AI and experimentation, which is now the direction that I'm going. So had that sort of downturn not happened and had the, you know, things just been moving along at a pace where I was just trying to keep up on the treadmill, I wouldn't have been able to say, hey, there needs to be some reassessment and some rejigging and realigning here. So it's really in your attitude of trying to just make opportunities, make lemonade out of lemons. Now, it's not always easy to do. I certainly understand that. There's certain days where I will just feel like, oh, everything sucks. But I try and pick myself up and say, okay, there's an opportunity here. I do believe I've waffled back and forth on this, but I do now believe everything happens for a reason. And so I'm trying to find the reason in this. And I think, you know, the reason for a lot of people is to reposition themselves in a very, very changing market. AI is going to change absolutely everything we're doing, no matter what field of marketing you're in, and many, many fields outside of marketing. So this is the opportunity to give yourself pause and reassess and go, how can I best position myself for a completely paradigm shift change in the industry?
But would you make the argument that entrepreneurs by our nature, we're so in love with our product or our service that sometimes we hesitate a bit too long before we make that pivot that you had to make, that we just kind of forced on you? Would you agree with that statement?
I definitely would. I think we become very attached to it, especially if it's our own company. I used to think of Guess the Test as my baby that I birthed. I have two kids, but Guess the Test became my third baby. And, you know, you become super attached to it. Any website owner that I work with, if it's their own company, their own website, they always, I make a joke, they have the stance, fix my website, but don't change it, because they become very attached to their website and what they see on it. They want it optimized, but they also don't want it changed. So it's a very natural, it's human instinct, I think, to become attached to what you do, to feel like you've put your all into it and you don't want to have to pivot because you're already struggling and grappling and doing all those things anyway. It's human nature. It's a very psychological thing. And it's just a matter of kind of taking a deep breath and going, okay, this isn't as optimal as I want it to be. What do I need to do to make it optimal? And I think entrepreneurship requires that flexibility and that mental agility to go where, you know, sort of the universe pushes you and where you're aligned best with the opportunities that are there.
I didn't ask you this at the beginning, but you started in 2018. Prior to that, did you have your own business as well, or were you working for someone?
Yeah, so I finished my master's in 2009, and at that time I got on with a local user experience company doing large scale usability studies. And from there, when I did my master's, it was the first time I went to Queens, and I was living in Ottawa, and I would take the train back and forth to do my courses and all my TA responsibilities and my thesis and my research work and that kind of thing. But it was the first time ever that I actually was kind of working remotely. I didn't have to go into a job every day and commute every day into some place. And I said, this is the lifestyle that I want. I never want to have to work in an office again. I never want to have to get out of my jammies if I don't want to. I've developed something that I call webinar wear, which is nice on top and relaxing, comfortable down below. And I like to be able to eat lunch at my desk or go for a walk or go to the gym if I want. I like that flexibility. So at that time, I said, I am going to work towards trying to have a remote kind of working opportunity. Now, at that time, this is 2009. That was almost unheard of. But I sought out opportunities that I could work remotely. So for many years, I did user experience testing. I then my back undergrad is in communications. So I did kind of corporate communications and merged that with user experience testing. And I've always found myself in some kind of writing role. I can't really help it. I guess I'm good at it. People just, the universe has directed me writing, 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 even though I wanted to branch out to do more. I always end up doing writing. So, guess the test is essentially now a newsletter writing thing that I do, and I write articles and case studies. But in every role that I've done, I've worked remotely and I've had that freedom and flexibility. And I have worked for companies. I've worked part-time. I've worked on retainers. I've worked as a freelancer. I've worked as a consultant, different kinds of things. The one thing that I find really works well is having what I call my finger in many different pies. I don't just have this job and that's it. I'm doing this and this and this and this and all together, bunches together for a decent revenue stream. And in this kind of economy, that has worked really well because, same with COVID, when one domino falls and all the others start to fall, you need some kind of place where you can grab new dominoes and say, okay, I'm going to put these up and line these up now.
What advice would you give to someone that's currently in the workforce that's considering making the leap like you did?
I don't know if now is the best time.
That's
So
fair.
I'd really reassess that unless you have absolutely a killer idea that you know is going to work. If you have a stable job or a stable government job, if you're in Ottawa, I would say stick with that and start a side hustle until that you know the time truly is right, that you just can't manage both, and then you can go out on your own. This year, and I think in the coming couple of years, it's going to financially be really, really tricky to start things off. Not to say that people can't or there's not opportunities, but you're going to be facing a lot of headwinds more than normal, I think, if you do. But if you decide that that's your path and your true calling, then I absolutely encourage it. And in that case, be armed with grit and tenacity and gumption and, being willing to take falls and get right back up and continually optimizing, learning, understanding the needs of your market, the needs of your audience, until finally you do find a good fit that truly works for you.
Deborah, we're almost out of time. Before we let you go, where can our listeners find out more about your companies?
Sure. So probably LinkedIn is the best place to get a hold of me. I'm Deborah O'Malley on LinkedIn. And then if you want to check out my website, Guess the Test, it's guessthetest.com, GUESS, thetest.com. And on the site, you can take your best guess on the feature test, see if you win, and apply the real life results and insights to optimize your own success. And if you're looking for any help with your website, any kind of consulting work, any kind of coaching, training, or even newsletter writing, you can contact me through Convert Experts, and I'm happy to help you out that way as well.
Thanks so much, Deborah, for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.